صف الزهراء على أجال يوسف الزهراء على أجال يوسف الزهراء.
When it starts to move away towards the dawn, and we spoke about the importance of these times, he also swears by the subh that bayn al-tulu'ain, we call it, the time between fajr and salat and the sunrise, which we said is also a very, very important time throughout the day. There he says, وَالصُبْحِ إِذَا أَسْفَرْ. I forgot to open this up a little bit, the wording that has been used in this verse. I'll just go over that real quick and then we'll move on. وَالصُبْحِ إِذَا أَسْفَرْ. Asfar comes from sufur. Sufur means veil. Asfara means to lift a veil. So it's saying by the dawn or by the, the morning when it lifts its veil. What does that mean when it lifts its veil? It's being very metaphorical here. It's as if when the sun rises, if you've seen, as we get closer and closer to sunrise, so the night is ended, it's become dawn, fajr time has come, the horizon begins to light up more and more. As we get closer to sunrise, it's as if there's a veil that is slowly being lifted off of the darkness of the night. So this darkness is going up and a light is showing more and more. This is called وَالصُبْحِ إِذَا أَسْفَرْ. This sufur, this veil is going up as if there's a veil of darkness. This veil of darkness is going up and is being lifted. And this is where the word tafsir comes from actually. Yes, that's seen fa and ra, safar, which has to do with veils. Tafsir comes from fasara. That's safar, this is fasa. But those who are familiar with the way words work in Arabic, sometimes words that are similar in the letters that have been used, you will see that although the letters are in different places sometimes, this one starts with fa, that one starts with seen, but these two will be similar in meaning, the ulama of lugha, of words, they say. They will tell you this. Here is the same thing. Tafsir also means to lift the veil, kashful qina', to lift the veil off of something that has been said. In other words, to understand what is meant by it. And that's where tafsir comes from. So I just wanted to point this out, that the Quran here even is being very poetic and metaphorical. It could have just said, by the morning. Or by the morning when the sun is rising. But it says, by the morning when the veil is being lifted off of it. The veil of nighttime that has fallen. That's how the Quran did what it did. That's how the Quran was a miracle. Because of these things, these little points in them. Anyway, let's move on. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sworn by these three, and we spoke about the significance of each of these three, the moon, the night towards the end, and the subh, Allah wants to make a point now. The point that He wants to make. Which point? The point that He wanted to make when He said, you know what, I'm talking about Walid bin Mughayra, this guy, he came, he turned away, he didn't believe. He's going to go to the saqar scorches the skin, all of these things. He said, Allah, after that, He said, kalla, if you remember. Allah said, kalla, forget it. You know what? Forget about Walid. Let's change our addressee here, who we're talking to here. We're talking to you now. I'm talking to you people who are serious about life, who are serious about akhirah. But before I talk to you, I'm going to swear by three things. So He swears by three things. Now, what's that statement you want to make? Oh Allah. Allah says, it's not sorcery. It's not magic. It's not any of these things. What is this Quran? إِنَّهَا لَإِحْدَى الْكُبَرِ. This Quran is one of those great things. We've all heard the hadith of Taqalain. إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمْ أَتْفَقَلَيْنَ كِتَابَ اللَّهُ عَتْرَتِي. The Prophet, before leaving this world, he says, I leave two weighty things, two great things. One of them is greater than the other. أَكْبَرْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. One of them is greater. Here the Quran is saying who the greater one is. Of course, there the Prophet also says which one is greater.
Or
no, he doesn't actually say it, if I remember correctly. He doesn't say it. He says one of them is greater than the other, but it's clear what he's referring to. Here the Quran specifically points out, it says, إِنَّهَا لَإِحْتَى الْكُبَرَ. One of the great things of Allah is this Quran. We sometimes give importance to things that aren't that important. The Quran is shouting out that, look, I'm one of the greats. I'm one of the great things that you have to be in touch with. You have to know, like your child. We have to know it. Knowing the Quran doesn't necessarily have to do with tafsir now. Even if we don't understand tafsir, even the translation should be enough to an extent for us to understand what's going on in the Quran. So if someone talks about a verse, we know, oh yeah, that's the verse. I've seen that once or twice, I've come across it. We have to continuously, our ulama, Ayatollah Khamenei even, they say he was known for his little Qur'an that he would carry around with him everywhere. Allama Tabtabai, he would do one juz of Qur'an a day. He says, I've been doing for the past 40 years, he's telling somebody this. For 40 years he's been doing a juz of Qur'an a day. Okay, can we do a page a day? For 40 years, that's how he can do Al-Mizan. He can write the tafsir of Al-Mizan. You have to be familiar with this. Right? This example that sometimes I use, that if we have like a little letter that was written by the hand of Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, if someone has a piece of paper that Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam wrote, beside the salawat, someone comes to you and says, I have such a piece of paper that has remained over 1400 years in my pocket. We say, oh my God, show me. But if Allah says, I have 600 pages that I have sent to you myself, we say, it's nothing, it's normal, you know, it's always there. We'll put it on our wedding sufra. In the weddings, we'll put it there. In the house, we have a nice Quran that's there. We'll even open it up and leave it open, so as if we respect this Quran and stuff, which is good, fine, okay, but person who really understands what they're doing will understand that the Quran is لَحْتَ الْكُبَرِ. It's coming from God for God's sake. It's coming from God for God's sake. It's coming from there. I mean, do we believe it's from Him or not? Yes, I do believe it's from God Himself. Then what are we waiting for? I don't get it. I don't get it myself. I'm talking to myself, reminding myself. And then it's here that Shahid Muhtari has an interesting story or an interesting point. The Quran is saying, I'm one of those great things. Don't take me for granted. And then he gives this story. He gives this example. He says the Germans, I kind of looked into this and I found that it is true that the Germans were the first to discover nuclear energy and how it works and stuff. Shahid Muhtari says that this, in World War II, when America, of course, was against Germany and so on. One person defected from Germany and came to America with a suitcase. No one knew that in this suitcase was, I don't know, the formula or whatever you want to call it, the secrets or whatever it is, to this nuclear energy. This person had this in his suitcase. He was defecting from there, coming to America. Just like all the other thousands of passengers that are coming and going in airports, everyone has a suitcase, this person also came with a suitcase. But this person caused this technology to make its way into this country. I haven't looked into this, but he says this. He says the Quran is kind of like that. See what a change this one suitcase made, that everyone else also has a suitcase. He says the Prophet migrated from Mecca to Medina with a book. A book just like every other book. Of course, that back then it wasn't in written form, but he was leaving with this knowledge. Everyone has knowledge of books. But this man made a big difference that till today they have this problem of the Muslims in Islam. How do we address this problem? إِنَّهَا لَإِحْدَى الْكُبَرِ. People don't know. But this is what makes changes. Al-Kumar. Nadhiran lil Bashar, next verse. It's one of those great things that is Nadhiran lil Bashar. Who cares if Walid didn't listen? Who cares? It's not for Walid. It's not Nadhiran lil Walid. It's Nadhiran lil Bashar. Kalla, forget this. It's for everybody. It's not just for you. It's not for your guidance, Walid. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَن يَتَقَدَّمَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرَ. It's for whoever wants to fall ahead or fall behind, whatever you choose. Allah very clearly is letting us know that it's up to you. We're going to give you the path. It's up to you to fall ahead or fall behind. Other verses of the Quran even call it a contest, a race. سَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ Race towards your Lord, your Lord's forgiveness, your Lord's mercy. Race towards it. It's like as if it's a race, it's a contest, a competition or something. Or else the word they wouldn't use سَارِعُوا or سَابِقُوا. Another verse says سَابِقُوا. سَابِقُوا means مُسَابَقَة. مُسَابَقَة means a contest. It's as if we're like in a contest with each other right now. Now, the only difference between a contest is sometimes you want to make it to the first place. You want to make it to the finish line first. That means others are not going to make it to the finish line. But what's so cool about God's competition is that it's a possibility for everyone to reach first place. We just have to choose. But at the end of the day, some are not going to choose. What am I going to do? Am I going to fall behind? No. This is what the word ghibta means. Ghibta. They say there's a difference between jealousy and ghibta, or if you want to translate it or give it an equivalent. Equivalent for this, you'll say envy. Okay, some people like to use the word envy. All right. But in Arabic, they say ghibta. And hasada, jealousy. All right, so we have these two. There's a difference between it, they say. One is a bad thing. Another one is a good thing. When you're hasood and jealous, they say this is what is meant by hasood, is that you want something for yourself, but at the same time, you don't want it for others. Or someone else has it, you say, I wish he didn't have it and I had it. That's jealousy in these terms, in Islamic terms. But when it comes to ghibta or envy, it means that you see others are making it, I want to make it too. That's what's cool about Islam. Everyone can make it. Think about it. If we have another form of Olympics where everyone can take the gold home. It's a competition as if. Whoever wants will fall ahead. Whoever doesn't want will not fall ahead and will fall behind. Since this is a path where you have to go on it and there's falling ahead involved, there's falling behind involved, that's why we're going to say نَذِيرًا لِلْبَشَرِ. It's a warner. What do I mean? Why did the Quran put its finger on warn? I spoke about this before, about the warning part, that we have to be warned, us people, because we're lazy, we don't get off our backs. That's one reason. Another way of looking at it is this, how the Quran here is saying, it's a nadir, it's going to warn us. Why? Because there's this path. People are trying to run ahead on this path. As you know, paths usually have obstacles in them. The path is clear. So Allah lets us know what the path is, but there's obstacles along the way in this path. He has to let us know what those obstacles are. He has to warn us what those obstacles are. Hence, نَذِيرًا. It's a nadir. It's going to warn us of the obstacles for those of us who want to fall ahead. I can't stress enough how important it is that these verses that we're talking about these days keep highlighting the fact that if you respect yourself, you'll get on the path. If you make the decision for yourself, no one's going to do it for you. No one's going to do the treadmill and workout for you. If you want to be in shape, this is how you do it. You have to make the decision. If you want to be successful in life, you have to make the decision. If you want to have a successful akhirah, you have to make a decision. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ Whoever of you desires to fall ahead or fall behind, it's for those. It's going to be a warner for those people. It's going to let them know the obstacles along the way. But those people who don't want to be on the way, on the path, then we're not going to tell them about the obstacles. We're not going to work. It's هُدًا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ This Qur'an is a kitab that is هُدًا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Those people who want it. Let's move on to a concept now. I'm going to need your attention on this. I'm going to give you an outline first so that we know where we are exactly. We have a concept that I'm going to open up and talk about a little bit that comes from Qur'an. A couple of verses of the Qur'an talk about this concept, this perspective and way of looking at life and things. We're going to talk about that. This is a general concept. Then the two verses that give us this concept, we're going to talk about those a little bit. This concept isn't going to be the same in these two verses, although they seem the same. Okay, so we're going to first talk about this concept in general. When it comes to the material world, the material perspective of life and so on, Actions, what we do, what are they like? What are they? What defines our actions? Our actions are energy being burned and something happening, and that's it, finished. So what we do is just energy, maybe they'll say. I don't know, this is just off the top of my head. Energy. When we do something, energy. Okay. And that's it. Anything else? No. So if someone does something bad, like, what time is it right now? It's almost 9 o'clock. It's 8:55. All right, 8:55, he did something bad. Before he did it, compared to after he did it, is there a difference? No. This person is the same person. This person is the same person he was at 8:50 that he's going to be when it's 9 o'clock. He did something bad in between. Before and after is the same. Yes, some energy and stuff like that happened and so on. All right. But this is not the Quranic perspective. Not only when we do actions is stuff happening, we are building things. This is the Quranic culture that we have. What do I mean? Surah Tur, verse 21. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين آمنوا واتبعتهم ذريتهم بإيمان ألحقنا بهم ذريتهم وما ألتناهم من عملهم من شيء كل امرئ بما كسب رهين. This part, كل امرئ بما كسب رهين, is also mentioned in Surah Mudathir that we'll get to, in this same verse that we're talking about. So before this verse, I want to talk about this general concept. Surah Tur 21, translation: the faithful and their descendants who followed them in faith, we will make their descendants join them on the Day of Judgment. And we will not decrease from the reward of their deeds. Okay, so this person, his descendants are going to be reunited with him. Allah says, I will reunite you with each other, plus I will not take away from any of your good deeds. It's not like, now that you want to be together, it's going to cost you some good deeds. وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Nothing will be decreased from what you've done, but at the same time, you will be reunited. Why will we not decrease from what you've done? Why won't we charge you for reuniting you? Because كُلُّ مُرَئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٍ. Every person, now here the translation says, every person is a hostage of what they do. Every person is a rahin of what they do. A hostage. This word doesn't match the context here. The context is a positive context. It's talking about something good. But you see how the translation is getting negative. They're a hostage. Wait a minute. You're not going to take anything away from them because although you're reuniting them. Why? Because they're hostages. Doesn't make sense. First, let's talk about this concept of every kullu mri'in bima kasaba rahin. Let's talk about it. Then, once we talk about it, we will be able to understand the verses exactly and how to translate them. Okay, we have a concept of kullu mri'in bima kasaba rahin. Every soul is hostage to what it has gained. This will be the translation that they will give you. What does this mean? Rahin means hostage, but in Islamic terms, or in fiqhi terms, sometimes it is used for this idea of leaving something with someone when you owe them something, when you owe them a service, when you owe them some money. You leave something with them that will guarantee that in the future you will take care of what you have to do and you've promised them. For example, can I borrow $2,000? Yes, you can borrow $2,000. Okay, thank you. No, wait, don't go yet. Leave something that you own with me so that I know you'll pay me back. I'm not giving you $2,000 just like that. You know, I love you and all, but... So this person takes the $2,000, leaves his car keys as a rahin, as a rahin. He leaves it there so that this person is sure that this guy who took $2,000 from me will return it because I have his car keys. I have his car. We have this concept. So a person, this thing, they call it rahin or rahin. It's like a prisoner in his hands until you return what you have to return. Until you fulfill that service that you have to fulfill. Do what you have to do. So that's one word that's in the verse, rahin. We have another word that's in this verse. كُلُّ مْرِيَمْ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينَ. كَسَبَ. The verse doesn't say, you are the prisoners of what you have done. It's saying, you are prisoner of what you have gained. كَسَبَ. In other words, before you did it, you were something. After you did it, something else. It's something else now. You're something else now. You gained something. Every word counts. كُلُّ امْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٌ. So now, so far, this is what we're going to do. Every person, every soul is a prisoner of what that person has gained. What does that mean? When we look at it, it seems as if your action is standing there on the Day of Judgment and he's holding like a pistol to your head kind of thing. Like, I'm in trouble. If I've done something bad, I'm going to be in trouble because this action is going to take me out. Is that what it means exactly or not? No, that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is this. It goes a little deep here. It has to do with they call it philosophy of action. What are our actions really? Yes, a materialist will say your actions are energy. From the Islamic perspective though, our actions are what build us. Who are you on the Day of Judgment? If they ask you, who are you? You won't be Ahmad, Muhammad, Amin, whatever. You will be your actions. Have you ever heard you are what you eat? You are what you do on the Day of Judgment. Your actions are determining who you are on the Day of Judgment. And this is very philosophical. It's called, you can call it haraka johariya. You call it in philosophy. Maybe it has to do with that. That we are constantly in a motion, in a movement, completing, developing through what we do. That's why on the Day of Judgment some people are animals, because instead of going this way, they were going that way. They were going down. They were going down the ladder of existence. They moved from human to animal to even worse. Others, though, are developing. They're moving up the ladder. How is that? Because of their actions. Their actions are what determines who they are. The materialist will say, this person, he did that bad thing. Before and after, he's the same. He's the same person. The Quran will tell you, no. The person before this action and after this action is different. He has made gains. He's gained something. Either it's khusran and loss, or he's actually gaining something. That's the difference between Quranic perspective and the materialistic perspective. So when we say you are a prisoner, you are a hostage of your actions, it doesn't mean that there's two things here. My action and me. And he's holding a gun to my head. No. It means that me equals my action. That's how much of a link there is between me and my actions, that I am my action. I'm going to keep saying this so that we understand what's going on here. Since my action is what determines who I am, that means I am totally in submission to my actions. Who I am is even my action. It's not that he's going to kill me or something, or I'm his hostage in that sense. No, I might end up with one arm and no leg and half a head. Why? Because my action is what I am. So in that sense, I'm a prisoner of my action. This is a concept that we have. It comes from the Quran. You are what you do, the Quran will tell you. Of course, there's always the idea of tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, true, your actions determine what you are. But if you do tawbah when you did things you weren't supposed to do, it'll fix things up. How is that possible? I don't know. We don't know. But Allah says that same arm that you were missing through tawbah, I'll give it back to you. It's just an example. It's just, I'm being metaphorical here. Once we understand this concept that the Quran is talking about all the time, you will see your actions on the Day of Judgment. You will see this, you will see that. Those two famous verses, مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى شَرًّا يَرَى. Even if it's an atom's worth of good or bad, you will see it. You will see the action, not the punishment of the action, not the reward of the action. You will see it itself. It itself is the punishment or the reward. Why? Because it itself contributes to you, who you are. Are we getting this, inshallah? That I'm a prisoner of my action because my action is what I am. Once we understand this, then other things that the Imams have said will make sense. Like the famous hadith I told you before, Nahj al-Balagha, a'ada aduwik. Imam Ali says, a'ada aduwik nafsuka allati bayna janbayk. You're your own enemy. Because it's up to you whether you build yourself complete or you don't build yourself complete. If anyone else had anything to do with it, yes, they would also be a threat. But if who you are depends on your actions, and your actions depends on you and your decision, that means who am I going to be afraid of? Myself. My shortcoming. Nothing else. I'm not afraid of shaitan. I'm not afraid of the devils. I'm not even going to care that much if the shayateen are tied down in the month of Ramadan or not. If it's that easy that it depends on me, then what am I afraid of? Yes, I'll be afraid of myself. That's why in the du'as we say, Ya Allah, Allahumma amilni bi fadlik, wa la tu'amilni bi adlik. Oh Allah, don't deal with me through your justice, but rather deal with me through your grace. Because if you're going to be just, that means all you have to do is just look at my actions. That's all you have to look at. That's enough. My actions. I'm scared of my actions. If you're going to be just and you're going to judge me, you're going to look at my actions, right? Yes, I'm going to look at your actions. Well, that's scary because my actions are scary. In other words, I'm the problem. My decisions are the problem. I'm my enemy. Conclusion. We are a prisoner of what we do because our essence and what we are in the Akhirah depends on what we do. Okay, having said this, let's move into the verse at hand. Surah Muddathir, Surah Tur, verse 21, is talking about this concept. The faithful, their descendants, they are reunited. Allah will not decrease from their actions because every person is a prisoner of what they do. What are we going to do from here? How are we going to translate this verse? This verse is going to be translated in a positive sense. When we translate this verse, we're not going to say is a hostage. كُلُّ مْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٍ means every person and his actions. That's it. Because every person is responsible for their own actions, we'll translate the verse. Very good. So Surah Tur verse 21 is positive. But now when we go back to our verses in Surah Muddathir, the problem we have in Surah Muddathir is that the verse is negative. The verse is not positive. The verses are not positive. Look at this. كَلَّا وَالْقَمَرْ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذْ أَدْبَرْ وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا أَسْفَرْ إِنَّهَا لَإِحْدَى الْكُبَرِ نَذِيرًا لِلْبَشَرِ. All the way till verse 38. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينًا. Every soul is tied down by his actions, is dependent on his actions, let's say. Here it's negative. Why? Let's look at the next verse. Illa ashab al-yameen. Ashab al-yameen are not tied down by their actions. When the verses make an exception for the good people, that means what is left and an exception is not made for are the bad people. In Surah Tur, verse 21, I want you to pay attention. It was talking about good people and how Allah is not going to decrease the actions of the good people because every person, it's every person and their actions. Something good, it's in a positive light. But here it says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَ وَرَهِينَ إِلَّا أَصْحَابَ الْيَمِينَ. So Allah is making an exception for the good people. When He makes an exception for the good people, that means those who are left are the bad ones. The wording of these two verses, though, was exactly the same. Do you see, brothers and sisters, how the context of the verses can even make two identical verses mean two different things? I don't think anyone can prove that these verses that we have now in Surah Muddathir are positive verses. They're negative verses. Although the exact same wording was used in a positive way somewhere else. So what are these verses talking about now? إِلَّا أَصْحَابَ الْيَمِينَ. When we look in Surah Waqa, we have a categorization of individuals, of the people that were in this life. Ashabul Yameen, Ashabul Mash'ama, or Ashabul Shimal, right? Ashabul Yameen, Ashabul Maymana, Ashabul Shimal, Ashabul Mash'ama, the second category, and As-Sabiqoon, As-Sabiqoon. It's beautiful. As-Sabiqoon, those who were ahead of everybody else. Some, maybe a hadith, and some believe that what the Sabiqoon is talking about is the Ma'sumeen. But the verse doesn't say that. The verse says As-Sabiqoon, those who were way ahead of the rest, ahead of the game. Then you have Ashabul Yameen, those who apparently their report cards on the Day of Judgment will be given to their right hands. In other words, they know once they receive their report cards that they're good to go. They have a shiny future, bright future. And Ashabul Shimal, those of the left hand, or the Ashab of the left, which means that they will be given to them in their left. Now, here in Surah Muddathir, it is making an exception for Ashabul Yameen. Ashabul Yameen are not tied down. That means the rest are tied down. Ashabul Yameen has been mentioned in verses 27, 90, and 91 of Surah Waqa. So those of you who want to take a look. The context clue that we have here is that in Surah Muddathir, the general concept is not meant that we, every person, is being built by what they do. Because even when it comes to good people, they are also built by what they do. It's their actions that makes them who they are on the Day of Judgment, with good people too. So this verse is not talking about this concept. Surah Tur, verse 21, was talking about a general concept, everyone and their actions. Here though, although the wording is the same, since something is going to go wrong, we have no choice but to reinterpret the verse. If we take it for its literal meaning, the meaning will be that the Ashabul Yameen, they are not the ones, they are ones who are not built by their actions. Their actions are not what builds them. That goes against explicit verses of the Quran. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. He will see. Even those who have done good, they will see their actions itself. They'll see the action. So what does this verse mean when it's talking about this Ashabul Yameen being an exception? The answer is that here when it says Ashabul Yameen are not tied down, it means they won't be handcuffed by their actions. Handcuffed. I'm just using this word as an example. It means that on the Day of Judgment, some people will actually be tied down by their actions. Their actions will be handcuffs for them. Their actions will weigh down on them. Their actions won't let them walk towards Jannah. Their actions won't let them on their walking on the Sirat, that special famous bridge that we've all heard about that extends over the hellfire. Their actions won't let them. They'll slip and fall. Some hadith say that that Sirat for the bad people, for the bad people, is so thin like a hair and so sharp like the blade of a sword. When you're walking on it, you'll fall. Why? Because he's walking on it, all of a sudden, someone stops in there, stops them from walking. What? What's wrong? What's going on? Remember that dhulm that you did to me. His actions are going to come in his way. Maybe shake that bridge a little bit. The person falls off. This is what is meant by the verse. He's tied up. He's a hostage. The wording of the two was the same. Translation there, because of our tafsir, the translation there will be, every man has his own actions. Every man is Surah Tur. Every man is dependent on his actions. Every man will be responsible for the actions that he's done. The same exact wording here, we're going to translate it how? Every person is a hostage, is handcuffed by his actions. Illa Ashabul Yameen. Ashabul Yameen are not going to have handcuffs, are not going to have shackles on the Day of Judgment. All of this I said was for the just to make get this point across, that look at this, brothers and sisters, how beautiful it is. that since we have a problem, we have to reinterpret the verse, although the wording is exactly the same. As a matter of fact, Ashabul Yameen aren't chained down. Ashabul Yameen are freed by their actions. Illa Ashabul Yameen will mean except the Ashabul Yameen, and then you can open a bracket there and say the Ashabul Yameen are freed. Not only are they not handcuffed, they are freed by their actions. Question. I'll end with this question. And the answer, of course. Question is, an exception was made for Ashabul Yameen, the righteous ones. The ones who will get a report card on the Day of Judgment in their right hand. But it made no mention of the Sabiqoon. As-Sabiqoon, who don't even have a report card because they're so good. They don't need a report card. How come the verse doesn't say illa ashab al-yamin was-sabiqin or was-sabiqoon? Why doesn't the verse say that? Why does it make an exception for ashab al-yamin? But no exception is made for as-sabiqoon. That means they're also tied down? That's when we laugh. Ha ha ha. And we say, what kind of understanding is this? Let me give you an example. The Quran says, don't tell your parents uff. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. Don't say uff to them. And they translate uff to mean the slightest expression of disgust or the slightest rejection of them. Don't do the slightest rejection. So someone will say, oh, and some people say this. I hope they're kidding. They say that it says don't say uff to your parents. I didn't say uff, but I said another like bad word. Or I didn't say uff, but you know, I hit them. I only hit my parents. I don't say uff while I'm doing astaghfirullah. Does it take more than a kindergartner to understand that when the Quran says don't say uff, that means the minimum. If I give the minimum to you, that means anything above that even you're not supposed to do. I'm giving you the minimum, not even this. Illa ashab al-yameen. He's saying even the ashab al-yameen are freed by their actions, let alone as-sabiqoon. As-sabiqoon will be immune to many things. Inshallah, Allah makes us of those. I'm going to end a little bit earlier today, and inshallah, Mawlana will continue if he has anything to say to the brothers and sisters. Just before we end, we're going to commemorate the passing, or in a sense, the shahada even, you can call it, of Lady Khadija. These days belong to Lady Khadija and Abu Talib, alayhim as-salam. The Prophet, in the beginning, as the hadith holds, the Prophet had no supporters. Only Abu Talib, Lady Khadija, Imam Ali, and the hadith says that it was, if it wasn't for these three Islam, if it wasn't for the character of the Prophet, Lady Khadija, Imam Ali's sword, Islam would not have spread. If it wasn't for Abu Talib, alayhi salam, Islam wouldn't have spread. Abu Talib was the one who protected the Prophet. But, unfortunately, the Prophet lost Abu Talib in the beginning of Islam, and he also lost Lady Khadija. They say in those final moments, they were in that valley. We all know the story of the valley. For a long time, the Prophet and his close ones were in that valley of Abi Talib, Shi'b Abi Talib, they call it. The Muslims were under a lot of pressure. No food, people are dying. Lady Khadija, they say she had become so frail. Her body had become so frail. And eventually her body gave in. And she passed away. The Prophet, they say, was sitting next to Lady Khadija. Lady Khadija was upset. The Prophet would tell her about her place in Jannah. She would become happy. Eventually though, Lady Khadija passes away. The Prophet is left with this hardship. Right after Abu Talib has passed away. They say Fatima al-Zahra. In the tariq of Ya'qubi, it says this, that Fatima al-Zahra was there as a child. And she is holding on to her mother. And she's saying, where is my mother? What's happened to my mother? The Prophet has to somehow take care of Fatima in that moment. Very hard moment. But when we fast forward, we see history repeats itself. Then a day came, a night came, when Ali ibn Abi Talib has to wash the frail body of Fatima al-Zahra. The same way Fatima was hanging on the body of her mother. Once the ghusl is done, once they have wrapped the cloth around Fatima, or they want to do that, Imam Ali says, he tells his children to come now. Tazawwadu min ummikum. Come and see your mother for the last time. Who's the first to run? Is it Lady Zainab? Is it Umm Kulthum? The reports say that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was the first to run. Hassanain are the first to run before the sisters and throw their bodies on the body of their mother. Some reports say that the mother's hand, miraculously, she begins to stroke the children. But these children have to put this body, the father has to put this body in the grave. Amma la yawm ka yawmika ya Aba Abdullah. When it was all over, they trampled the body of Hussein. There's a bloody body on the ground. Fatima al-Zahra was clinging onto the body of Khadija. Imam al-Hussein clinging to the body of his mother. But the time came when Sukaina has to come to the body of her father. She speaks to her father. She says, I heard my father say, Ya laytakum fi yawmi Ashura. I wish you were there with me on the day of Ashura. Jami'an tanduruni. Kayfa astasqi latufli fa'abawu an yarhamuni. I wish you were there to see when I was calling out. Oh monsters, Ali al-Asghar is dying from thirst. فَأَبَاهُ أَن يَرْحَمُونِ. They deprived me of even water for my Asghar. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب. ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من خير أعواله وأنصاره والمستشهدين بين يدي. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا وسلم ديننا ودنيانا وعجل اللهم في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان. صلواتك.